I want to talk about this polling because this is goes hand in hand with everything I just said. So we now have the official public opinion polling on the war in Iran. And would you be surprised to learn, this is the biggest insight in my opinion, that the demographic that supports the war the most is actually MAGA Republicans? This is the data from NBC News. I'll just read it outright and we'll discuss it. It says, quote, a majority of registered voters disapprove of President Trump's handling of the situation in Iran and believe the U.S. should not have taken military action against the country, according to a new NBC News poll. 54% of voters disapprove of Trump's handling of Iran, compared with 41% who approve. A similar share, 52% versus 41%, say the U.S. should not have taken military action. The results show clear, if expected, partisan polarization over the issue. An overwhelming majority of Democrats, 89%, say the U.S. should not have struck Iran. Among independents, 58% believe that as well. Republicans are overall more supportive of the strikes. 77% say the U.S. should have struck Iran. 15% disagree. But there is a significant divide between Republicans who identify as MAGA and those who do not. A full 90% of self-identified MAGA-aligned Republicans back the strikes, with only 5% saying they don't think the strikes should have been launched. Among Republicans who do not see themselves as part of MAGA, they are more divided, with 54% supporting the strikes and 36% against them. NBC News poll also found a deep divide over the Iran war by age, with younger voters far more sour on the strikes than older voters. Two-thirds of voters under 35 say the U.S. should not have struck Iran. It's about 50-50 for every other age group. Voters with college degrees are about evenly split over the strikes. Those with bachelor's or postgraduate degrees overwhelmingly believe the U.S. should not have struck Iran. Now, to me, this is just the nail in the coffin, because maybe it needs to be said. It's sort of sad that it does. When you go back to the original MAGA movement, when it all started, what this whole thing is about, Trump came down the escalator. And among other things, the biggest, most poignant thing he said is that the war in Iraq was a mistake, that we should put America first, that we had been fighting never-ending battles, that we had no business fighting. We have gained nothing from it. It's cost us a fortune. Americans have died. We haven't even achieved our goals. He said, and so this welfare warfare thing, invade the world, invite the world, the neoconservative agenda, he said, this is a failure. And we need a change. He said, we need an America first nationalist foreign policy. And his credibility on the issue came from the fact that he was one of the earliest critics of the Iraq war in 2003. And whereas the Republicans at that time wanted to cast Donald Trump as a Democrat and say that he's not a true conservative, he's not of the establishment, he's not a loyal member of the movement, Trump flipped that on its head and said the Republican establishment is corrupt too. And that maybe Trump doesn't fit into that mold, but that's a good thing, because Republicans are losers and they have been pushing America Last policies with the Democrats. And whether it's Clinton or Bush, Obama or the other Bush, you're getting the same globalist policies that put Americans last. That was the genius. That was the vision of Trump won, of the Trump 2016 campaign. Now, at that time, that was actually an unpopular position. In 2016, when Trump first ran, 86% of Republicans had a positive view of George W. Bush. And more than 70% of Republicans believed that the Iraq war was a good thing, that we achieved our objectives and that we had won. So when Trump came down the escalator, let's think about it in these terms. Relative to the rest of the party, he was progressive. And by that, I mean, he was pushing the right wing forward. He was a new wave politician. He was introducing a refinement, maybe a realignment, a new development. So whereas Republicans were stuck and they had lost and they still embraced this catastrophic war, which wasn't even really conservative. When you think about what conservatism is, this is a war that was fought for what? For Israel, for oil, for defense contractors. Take your pick. It was fought for everybody other than Americans. And that's not conservative. And so relative to the electorate and the movement and the party establishment, Trump was further to the right. Trump was an accelerant, a progressive. And insofar as Trump was ascendant and surging and popular, he was having an impact on the rest of the party. You could argue he was moving the Overton window. He was dragging them forward into the future. He was influencing the GOP, the conservative movement, the electorate in a positive way. He was pushing the envelope, pushing us to where we need to go. That was in 2016. 80% of Republicans are pro-George Bush, pro-neocon, pro-Iraq war, and Trump comes out as the radical contrarian. He comes out as the accelerationist, the right-wing progressive that says, I'm a nationalist, I'm America first, I repudiate the legacy of George W. Bush, I repudiate the movement conservatism, the GOP establishment, I repudiate principled conservatism if it means spending blood and treasure for gains that we don't even have. He realigned what it is to be right wing, what it is to be Republican. I supported him then. Here we are 10 years later, and let's look at where the party is. Now, 90% of MAGA Republicans and Trump support this war in Iran, which is meaningfully the same thing. This is a war that has no tangible benefit for Americans. This is a war that is virtually identical to the war in Iraq. The buildup is the same. The pretext is the same. The problems are arguably similar, if not worse. The risks, the possibility of profound second-order consequences, economically, militarily, and otherwise for the United States. Arguably, it's Iraq on steroids. It's far worse. And now you look at where these two sides are relative to one another. Well, Trump, he obviously is the conservative movement. He is the Republican Party establishment. And the electorate is his voters. They are his voters. So he was on the outside. Now he's the inside. And now he's bringing us to war in Iran. And all those people, the 20% from 2016, the 20% from back then that were on the outside, that were with Trump, with the new wave, with the progressive visionary thinking, well, now they've been brought all the way back into the establishment. People that signed up with Trump in 16 against the war, Trump has now delivered them into the war. And actually, it is the people that are anti-Trump or not part of Trumpism. It is the percentage of Republicans that don't identify as MAGA that are actually better on this issue. They're actually more progressive, more nationalist, more America first. I did not vote for Trump in 2024. Why? Because in 2016, Trump was driving all of this forward. You could say he was moving the ball down the field, so to speak. If the end zone is a radical right-wing movement that is nationalist, nativist, that is restrained, that restrains Israel, that acts in its own interest, then Trump was moving the party closer to that ideal. He was exerting pressure, exerting gravity and magnetism, pulling the party, the conversation, the energy to the right place, in the right direction. Fast forward 10 years later, it is the opposite. He is holding everything back. There are people in the GOP that are correct. They're against the war. And this time, it's actually the educated voters. It's the low-information, non-college-educated voters, the MAGA voters that support the war. Now, it's the college-educated that are saying this is a disaster. There's no plan here. This has been mishandled at the minimum. It was probably ill-conceived, regardless of how it was handled. And what does Trump do to the people that are against the war? He tries to annihilate them. He tries to ostracize them, tries to destroy them. This is Marjorie Greene. This is Thomas Massie. This is Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly. All of the people that are now anti-war, anti-the war that he delivered, it's not enough that he's driving these events, but he's holding everybody back from going further to the ideal. He's actually the fourth of lethargy. He's retarding progress. He's actually sabotaging and thwarting progress. Whereas you might have right-wing people that are more extreme in their opposition to the Israel lobby, more extreme in their opposition to the buildup to war in Iran. Trump is pulling them right back, punishing anybody that he perceives to be disloyal. That's why I can't support it anymore. Because how can you argue now that this is an asset when this is clearly a liability? And like I said, that other effect, and maybe this is the most tragic part about it, this is a movement that was born to oppose these things, as we've all been talking about. You used to identify as MAGA. What did Make America Great Again mean? It was actually, in a very explicit way, in contradistinction to nation building, regime change. What's the big idea? Well, we spent $8 trillion in the Middle East building gas stations and building residential buildings and building a democracy and making sure women can vote. And we spent trillions of dollars building Afghanistan. And people died over there for this. And this took 20 years. And the whole idea is, let's make our country great again. Instead of making Iraq great, instead of making Afghanistan great, with our money and our efforts and our sacrifices, let's make America great. Instead of prioritizing the foreign interests that brought us into those conflicts, or the refugees that resulted from them, or the people that were devastated by them, let's put our people first. Let's build up their quality of life. Let's build our infrastructure. Wasn't that the whole idea? Wasn't that the whole Nozbol New Deal Republican idea that we would have an infrastructure bill? Roads, bridges, highways, airports. Instead of spending $7 trillion building stuff there, let's spend $7 trillion building stuff here. Instead of building it for them or for foreign interests, let's build America for American interests. That's making America great again. The ideas are inseparable. America first and making America great again are inseparable. They're inextricable. And they're inextricable from the conversation about nation building and immigration. Instead of blowing up other countries and rebuilding them and then inviting the refugees here and housing them and feeding them, let's take care of our own. Let's make ourselves great like we used to. Well, that's what it meant in 2016 when everybody signed up. And if you're one of those people that was brave enough to put on the hat and support MAGA back then, and you stuck with Trump all these years later, in order to remain MAGA, you actually have to support the opposite of it. 90% of people that identify as MAGA now are in favor of doing the exact opposite. And Trump is literally posting, make Iran great again. And I'm not even, that's a quote, make Iran great again. Let's bomb them. We've already spent $10 billion. Dollars is not a ton of money compared to Iraq and Afghanistan, but it's a lot. And that's not calculating the cost to the global economy because of the Strait of Hormuz and whatever else we might get up to in the Middle East. 90% of MAGA are now in support of making Iran great again, making Israel great again. You know, doing all those things that the other Republicans had done. And once again, here's the question, is Trump leading people in the right direction or the wrong direction? Well, if you took people that supported the original MAGA movement, and because of their loyalty to you, they are now supporting a war with Iran, obviously that's a problem. Obviously that's hurting more than it's helping. And I said in 2024, and maybe you didn't understand what I meant by this, but I said in the 2024 election, we may be headed to a war with Iran regardless. And I do believe that. But if Kamala takes us to war in Iran, at least nobody's going to support it. The Democrats are anti-war. So there's going to be more dissent in the Democrat ranks than there would be in the Republican ranks, because Democrats are more anti-war than Republicans. And they're more sympathetic to the Palestinians and the Iranians, and they're more skeptical and critical of U.S. power and intervention. So if Kamala wins and takes us to war, not even the Democrats are going to support it. Are Republicans going to support it? Well, no, they'll reflexively not support it because it's Kamala. And would independents support it? I would argue that independents and the general public wouldn't even see her as a legitimate president. We saw that Biden is literally dying, and this was like a grand deception foisted on the public. They lied about his physical condition. They lied about his mental deterioration, and yet he was nominally the president, which is one of the great scandals of American history. In this insane maneuver, they switched him out at the last second with his vice president, Kamala. There was no convention, no real vote among the delegates. And Kamala had never actually even won a Democrat primary. She dropped out, I believe, after the Iowa caucus or something in 2020. So not only do you have this ridiculous situation with Biden, but then you have someone like Kamala who really has no credibility. And this also would have been on the heels of the 2020 election, where there were some serious doubts about the legitimacy of how that election was conducted. So if Kamala gets in, I don't know that anybody is a supporter. I don't know that anybody's happy. I don't know that anybody even thinks that she's a legit president. If she takes us to war, 90% of everybody's going to oppose it. And they're going to oppose it on the grounds that this is like, we don't even know what this is. The men in suits, the cabal that runs America, that apparently rigs the elections, that controls the candidates, that uses the auto pen, these people set her up as the puppet, and this sick machine is what is taking us to war. It not only would it be deeply unpopular, people would be furious and besides themselves. In a word, they'd be united against the war. And who would lead the charge in the opposition? Obviously, Republicans. And what would that do? It would give all the initiative to Republicans to be anti-war. How do you distinguish yourself from the Democrats in the midterms? You say, well, we are against the war. How do you distinguish yourself from the Democrats in 28? We oppose the war. We are going to do no new wars, as Trump promised he would, but lost. I said the problem with Trump in the alternate scenario is all the MAGA people are going to go along with it because it's him. Because it's him, because of his charisma, because of his cult-like effect. And it doesn't matter if he violates every promise or every principle, they're going to go with it because of his charisma, because he's Trump. And not only are there going to be more people supporting it in absolute terms, but it's also the opposite in terms of legitimacy. Because Trump won, people are going to say, oh, I guess the elections aren't rigged. They were rigged in 2020, but if Trump won, they're not rigged now. So everything is fine. The elections are never rigged. And Trump won the election and he took office and everything's fine. So I think the institutions are working properly. And if Trump is bringing us to war, well, there must be a very good reason. So the whole war has this tinge now of credibility. And by the way, the left-wing institutions support it too. Hillary Clinton the other day said the second Trump administration is great. It's much better. And the Wall Street Journal supports the war and the Washington Post supports the war. And Fox News supports the war. And so in absolute terms, there's more support for the war among the public. It's almost all coming from the MAGA Republicans. And all of the institutions across the spectrum support the war because it's theirs. And I said this during the election, and maybe people thought this was like an intangible thing. Because what does that really mean? Well, the war will have more legitimacy or less. The war will have more support or less. Some people might say that that can't be quantified. It's intangible. What really is the value of things like this? What matters is how many immigrants are coming here. What matters is the policies or whatever. Well, now you see the difference. Now you're living it. You're seeing Republicans go to the rally and say, yeah, we should bomb Iran. And you go, what? 10 years ago, kind of the implicit message of Trumpism is don't go to war with Iran. If it was going, if the neocon agenda was going anywhere, it was going towards this. And if Trump was in favor of pulling us out of Syria and Iraq, well, the kind of dog that doesn't bark, The subtext is, well, we're definitely not going into Iran. If we're pulling out of Iraq because that was a mistake, and we're pulling out of Syria because that was a mistake, well, then obviously we're not going to do what they want us to do, which is go to war in Iran. And now it's all those people wearing the hats, gung-ho about Trump, that are the biggest supporters of it. So Trump is actually now a de-radicalizing force. He is de-radicalizing the country. There was pressure built up. People were angry. People were at a boiling point. People did have radical beliefs. They did stop believing in the legitimacy of the institutions and the system. And by getting elected, Trump relieved all of this, released all of this. So now what's the message in 28? Vote for J.D. Vance? Why? Vote for the guy that deported nobody and didn't stop us from going to war in Iran? Like, there's no energy there. There's no dynamism. There's no pitch. What's the slogan? We're going to have techno-accelerationism. We're going to have effective acceleration. We're going to have more data centers, more ChatGPT. We're going to have smart cars or what? Like whatever, robo-taxis. It's done. Right-wing populism is done. Unless somebody repudiates the legacy of Trump and embraces it at the same time. Somebody needs to run in 28 saying, like, look, Trump had the right message, got lost along the way. It's obviously failed. We need to restart. We need to reboot. We need to sort of make America great again, great again. Some version of that, some species of that, but it can't come from inside the admin. This can't be Vance or Rubio for obvious reasons. I don't think it's going to be Bannon, and I don't think it could be Tucker. It's got to be somebody else. But somebody needs to go out with that message in 28. That's the only thing I'm interested in. If you try to get me to vote for a Republican, I'm just not there. I'm not there for it. I'm not there for better than the Democrats and a war with Iran and no mass deportations. I'm finished with this. So that is your quantitative proof that everything I said was true. Trump is de-radicalizing America. He is holding back the progress. If there was going to be, and people make fun of me, they say, well, you think that if Trump loses, like, we'll get Hitler in 4 years. It's not that. It's that we need to open up a space for something more radical to emerge. You think that we have two choices. And we're either going to get marginally better or marginally worse. But if we get marginally better, then what happens is that maybe a very good option is foreclosed because all the resources and attention and energy are absorbed by the marginally better option. You have to imagine not just the scenarios which we can see, but the scenarios which we cannot see. Not just the scenarios which are known, but the scenarios which cannot possibly be known. So people said, well, we're either going to get Trump or we're going to get Kamala. And for me, it's like, well, we're either going to get Trump and he leads us down a horrible path and then a Democrat, left-wing economic populist becomes popular and they win. Like, that's actually a scenario we have to entertain. And the scenario that doesn't happen is people become complacent, they get too satisfied, too comfortable, and we never go further right. We never go more radical. And if we don't go more radical, we never win. If we don't get more radical, if there isn't at any point a radical intervention, then we never win. If you keep settling for lesser of two evils, you never get good. You never get a victory. You know, it's like you just keep dividing in half. Okay, we're not going to get that bad. We're not going to get that bad. If you keep voting that every single time, look at where it is, look at what it has profited us. Where do we wind up with all this stuff? There's never a space for something that's truly good, something we're actually excited about, something that's actually going to deliver real change. Now we get a White House with Condoleezza Rice, who was there the other day, Chris LaCivita, who's trying to destroy Thomas Massie, Marco Rubio, who's the Secretary of State, Jared Kushner, who's back in the White House. And you say, Trump is just the new neocons. He's just the neo-neocon. So we need actually to open up a space. That's actually the first step. First, we need to create a need. We need to create a demand. open up a space, open up a vacuum, and create the conditions for it to be filled, instead of voting for Trump, knowing what he is, and hoping for the best. Voting for Trump, knowing he's going to deliver all of this garbage, and simply wishing it were better, wishing it weren't so, wishing it was somehow a better option than it actually is. That's not going to get us to what we want, ever. So I don't know what the counter argument is. If MAGA means war with Iran, then MAGA is dead. If 90% of MAGA voters are in favor of a war with Iran, then MAGA means nothing. It has betrayed its most fundamental principles, and it is dead, and it is not worth the hats that it's imprinted on. And I'm out. And the young people need something new, something that will start up, something that is new, something with more energy, that is dynamic, offering new ideas, a new perspective for a new decade, maybe new leadership, maybe younger people, a guy that isn't 100 years old. But, you know, and here's the thing. This is the last thing I'll say about it. A lot of people are rocking with my criticisms. They agree with me. But they're not keen on voting Democrat this time. They're not keen on withholding their vote. You can't get one without the other. These things are all connected. They're all connected. You can't divorce the inputs from the outputs, the causes from the effects. You voted for Trump. This is the direct consequence. Nothing happened in the middle. What are you going to blame it on? Bad advisors, bad advice, bad personnel, the Biden economy, Biden fucked up the government, circumstances, Netanyahu did this. Like, you voted for it. This is what we got. Didn't work. You want something new, you got to play hardball. You got to try something new. You have to do the unthinkable. Trump does the unthinkable every day. The Jews do the unthinkable every day. We need to do the unthinkable. We need to keep our options open. We need to be open-minded. I'm happy, happy to vote for a Democrat for no reason other than they're going to drop the hammer on the fucking people that did this to us, because it's as simple as that for me. You were voted in to stop this war and deport the illegals. You're doing neither. Now I want you to suffer. I want you to pay a price. And that price is very direct. I want you impeached. I want you investigated. I want you thrown out. I want you to lose your seat. I want your life to be very difficult. And I don't want you to have a political future because you fucked us. And people say, well, you're going to fuck yourself too. Well, we're already being fucked either way. So what difference does it make? You can't vote Democrat. Don't cut your nose to spite your face. We're being cut in the face every day. We're at war with Iran. There's no mass deportations. They want to legalize transgender surgeries for kids if the parents sign a form. How much more spited can we be? Our face is being spited every day. It's just now you get a share of it. You get a share of that. And hopefully, and that's just for the midterms. I wouldn't vote for a Democrat in 28, maybe. But for the midterms, I want Democrats to come into the House to get oversight power, to hurt this administration, and that's it. You know, you don't need to be a pro-woke, tranny, you know, illegal nigger or whatever to refugee to vote Democrat. You just need to vote for them to get oversight powers so they will clobber the Republicans to open up a space in 28. That's what has to be done. And if you will not do that, then you're not listening to me and you're not being rational, okay? I'm losing my patience with you people because I told you in 24, I predicted all of it. I said, you can't vote. And people still to this day, like they admit that I'm right, but they're like, okay, but voting Democrat, that's too far this time. It's like, we have to do this. We have to do it. Justice once. We can vote Republican in 28. We can keep our options open, but for 26, we must give oversight powers. The House of Representatives is the people's chamber. The people, you are the one that insisted it's a binary. Well, I hate the Republicans now, so I'm voting for the other option. And I want it to hurt for them, and I want them to suffer and be diminished by it. And then in 28, I want them to be so degraded that a right-wing populist takes the primary by storm and, I don't know, maybe wins, maybe becomes president. At least it's a chance. At least there's a fighting chance for something different. That's my imperative right now. That's the Fuentes imperative. So I don't know how much more of this you guys can take. I'll keep doing it to you every day from now until 28. I don't know how much more of this you guys have an appetite for, how much losing and disappointment and failure, but it's for a purpose. If only you knew how good things can be, it could be so different. But Trump has got to exit the stage now. You know, he's holding it back. That is unambiguous based on all of this. What can even be said anymore? It's like every issue. Epstein, immigration, war with Iran. There's not even an infrastructure bill. We're not even getting the tariffs. Like, come on now. What are we playing for? They go, well, they changed the food pyramid. Okay, like the food pyramid? Oh, well, they got DEI out of the airlines. It's like, I don't know. That was actually kind of good propaganda. Maybe that was, I don't know. Is that, once again, is that what we're playing for? Anyway, but that's that. We're going to move on. We're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys have to say about all this. I know I'm losing people with this. I don't care. I know there's a lot of people that don't agree. I know there's a lot of people that are, that think I've gone crazy. They say, I can't listen to this guy anymore. I don't care. I don't care. I lived it. I've watched it. I've earned this. I am where the truth is because I'm right all the time. You are out there getting tricked all the time. So I see it in my replies every day. I can't watch this guy anymore. He tells us to vote Democrat, this, that, and the other. It's like, I'm the guy that's still against a war with Iran. I'm the guy that's still America first. You must be the other guy. So that's all I have to say.